Exodus 20, verse 12, these are the words of God. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which Yahweh, your God, is giving you. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. So if you follow along in the larger catechism through the Ten Commandments, and if you ever want a preview of the evening sermon, so long as we're in Exodus 20, or at least in the moral law in Exodus 20, you can just read the larger catechism question and answer and get an idea of where I should go. I don't always remember to cheat. It's not really cheating. It's very good for you when you get into calc and stuff to look at the answer and then figure out how to get there. And it's good for the Lord to have sent us those who have understood and taught his word well beforehand. But if you look at the larger catechism, it puts the fifth commandment in the second table of law, which is summarized, love your neighbor as yourself. And indeed, our nearest neighbors from the time of our birth are our father and mother, should the Lord in his mercy give us one or both. And it has generally been true, ordinarily, in his merciful providence, gracious providence to man, that most children have had both. And those who are missing father or missing father and mother have the wonderful special promise of God that he is father to the fatherless, and that he comes near in a special and different way to those who lack father on earth. So our father and mother are our neighbors. Linguistically, exegetically, in Exodus chapter 20, it's interesting that this covenant phrase, Yahweh, your God, if you take the preface with commandment number one, does appear in the first four commandments and the fifth commandment, and then not again in the, at least in this summary of the moral law. So I am Yahweh your God, you shall have no other gods before me, commandment one. And then commandment two, for I, Yahweh, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. The third commandment, you shall not take the name of Yahweh, your God. The fourth commandment, the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh, your God. And we considered last week that this memory of the creation and how his redeeming us has brought us into the knowledge of him and belonging to him as our purpose and pleasure, the way that the Sabbath was always to communicate to us. And then again here, that your days may be long upon the land which Yahweh, your God, is giving you. In fact, there is a flow from the fourth commandment into the fifth commandment, because the Lord has given us specific providence and specific privilege. You have your own particular sons and daughters. You have work, all your work, verse 9. If you have lived, and many of God's people have had a male servant or a female servant or a cat or cattle, livestock, and many of you have been at some point aspiring homesteaders to one extent or another, as we take dominion in whatever particular place the Lord has put us. And we often have neighbors or your stranger who is in your gates. And we thought last week about how they didn't even have gates yet, but Israel was supposed to be a people to whom the rest of the nations came for salvation. And yet, we were not made for all of those other things. Although God assigns to each of us his particular providence as a gift from him and as a duty unto him, we are made for him. And then he comes and he says that he's given us another specific set of providence. And whether you meet them or not, every one of us has had has had them. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which Yahweh your God is giving you. And so there's this connection of the fifth commandment to what precedes, and it's especially obvious when you translate in the most common use of the word, the first word in verse 12, honor. It's a word that actually means weighty or heavy, but it's the word that is most often translated glory. Now, in our anti-authoritarian, anti-God's design for the family age, it would be shocking indeed to hear someone say, glorify your father and your mother. Indeed, what used to be said in our culture in the proper sense, reverence your father and your mother. It's just been a couple hundred years since that would have, well, less than a couple hundred, since that would not have been strange-sounding language in our ears. And yet, even in most church situations today, I think, if someone overheard me, the child's dad or mom told them to do something, they were indulging themselves a little willful rebellion, and I said, now, young man, you reverence your father. In most church situations today, at least in our culture, I think that would not be heard with favor, reverencing your father. But there is reverence there. There is glory there. There's weightiness there. And the weightiness of a father, of your particular father for you, comes from the fact that the living God is the one who selected that particular father for you to be his particular child. And so we don't treat with honor, we don't take weightily our specific set of parents for us in and of themselves, but it really is a submission, a reverence unto God, which, and God forgive the parents who put their children in this sort of a situation, if the requirements of the parents upon their children are wicked, or if the treatment by the parents of the children is harmful to their souls, we create a confusion where there's actually supposed to be a consistency. And they are to see, in the first place in their lives, God's authority over them and care for them in their father and mother that God has chosen for them. In fact, it is a wicked culture indeed that cannot make generalized appeals to what fathers are supposed to be like and what children are supposed to be like. How corrupt is the culture that we live in, that it takes a lot of extra explanation in Hebrews chapter 12. But when God says, you all had earthly fathers who disciplined you for your good as they saw fit, and he extrapolates from that to a heavenly father. And how many have been without discipline at all? And it doesn't occur to them that being without discipline means I'm an illegitimate child, that I'm not actually loved. Or what has gone under the name of discipline has really just been the venting of frustration by father and mother, so that analogy breaks down. What a horrible and wicked cultural situation we find ourselves in. But this idea of the fact that we are responding to the weightiness of God is one that belongs in all authority structures. Jesus is treating Pilate as weighty, but of course he treats God himself as weightier. And Pilate says, don't you understand that I have authority to release you or to execute you? And Jesus' response is basically, I understand authority way better than you do. No one has that authority. There is no authority except from God. And when God tells us, when the apostle by the Spirit tells us in Romans 13, to be subject to governing authorities, again, it's because God is at the top of the chain of command. the authority that filters down through the civil authority is an authority that belongs to Jesus. And so whatever is legitimately done, legitimately required, must be obeyed. And the authority itself must be treated as weighty. Often by subjects in wicked nations, the authority is treated more weightily by the Christian subject who knows that Christ is at the top of that chain of authority and who prays with dread and horror for what the wicked magistrate is bringing upon himself by the misuse of that authority, so that when the Christian subject obeys that which is legitimate and right, he is doing it, of course, with a reverence for Christ. And when the Christian subject refuses to do that which is wrong and harmful, he is doing so out of reverence for Christ. Wives also are taught to submit to their husbands in all things as unto whom? As unto the Lord. It's not the worthiness of their earthly husband that calls forth their submission and their treating their husband's authority as a weighty thing to be respected and taken seriously. It's the authority of the Lord, the husband of the church, the Lord Jesus himself. And so there's this training, this starter pack of authorities to receive from God and to treat their authority with the weightiness, the honor, the glory that belongs to God. Everyone gets their starter pack, father and mother. I hate to admit it before you because I would not want any of you to do this, but I once had one of those Android app games that they use to try to, either you're going to have to spend enough time getting onto the game at the right time to get enough of the whatever the currency of the game is to advance in the characters, or what they really want you to do is to give them money. But in those games, you get a starter pack, you know, a couple characters to start out with in that particular game. I don't know necessarily about others. And you got a starter pack, and you got to figure out how to navigate the game using those initial characters. My dear children, God has given you a starter pack of authorities, and they are, by his design, supposed to be the best authorities that you will ever have in your life, your father and your mother, because he wants you to respond to his glory as you respond to the parents that you have. He wants you to respond to his weightiness by treating your parents as weighty, as honorable, as a glorious gift from God. And he wants you to respond to his goodness in how you respond to them. And we'll see that when we get to the rest of the verse. You see a one verse text and you're like, aha, short sermon. And then you realize you could spend the entire sermon just on the first word, close in prayer, and complete it the next week. And so we'll see that proper submission to authority is submission to the Lord. But since we're also people who are in authority, we'll see that proper exercise of authority is also submission to the Lord. If you are in authority, and you hope to be in authority, right? I hope you children see that marriage is a good thing and having children is a good thing designed by God, and you want someday to be a father and a mother. So I'm going to instruct you about the father and mother that you hope to be someday, and we who are already father or mother will wince with pain as the scripture corrects us, rejoice in the obedience of Jesus, and look to the Holy Spirit for his grace. Because it's not just proper submission to authority that is submission to the Lord. If you're going to be an authority, you need to recognize that the Lord gave you that authority. So you have neither the right to set it aside, to disregard it, to have one of these crazy egalitarian households in which the children are given the choice of everything and they're made to feel like they're in charge, or on the other hand, to use your authority for your own purposes instead of the Lord's purposes. So proper exercise of authority is also done in submission to the Lord. So first, responding to God's glory in how you treat your father and your mother. You know how much your father and mother weigh? That is a trick question. I hope you don't actually know in stones or kilograms or whatever you use. I don't know if it's permanent or not, but in the Jubilee of the Queen this week, they used imperial measurements and made my revolutionary heart rejoice. But I hope you don't know the actual mass times acceleration of your parents. But in terms of how much weight to give them, it's infinite, isn't it? You are not to displace mom and dad from the rule and leadership of your home. You may reason with them and ask for instruction so that you may understand. You may make appeals for that which you think and hope is good. They're not perfect, so they may actually change their minds about something. But don't you dare try to manipulate them and control them and make the home do what you want instead of what mom and dad say. Because God has given them his own weight in the home. And you should not try to displace them or push them over. You may find that dad is easy to get with those puppy dog eyes and those tears, or mom is easy to get with her flattery. You may find that your parents end up being pushovers, and you parents are not allowed to be pushovers because God is not to be pushed over, displaced. He is weighty. You see, there is a rebellion in failing to maintain parental authority, and it has disastrous consequences for all other societies. If we fail to maintain parental authority in the home out of the fact that God himself is the authority in the home, then we'll have egalitarianism in our churches. And instead of seeking to be governed the way Christ governs, because we trust in him and we want to please him, and our hope is that he will display his saving power in the church, we will instead have churches that are ruled by politics. A bunch of children trying to manipulate and push others over to get the decisions to be what they want. And we've seen, haven't we, the effects in the state of having a nation in rebellion against all authority and not recognizing that authority comes from God, that authority is now under Christ, who has all authority in heaven and on earth. So failing to maintain our authority when we are supposed to have it is itself a rebellion, and it leads to the disastrous consequences for all other societies. And then maintaining our parental authority in an irreverent fashion, as if the authority is seated in us instead of the Lord, that takes the honoring of Christ out of the relationship of the authority. It puts us in a place that only Jesus belongs, doesn't it? Many of us have recognized that authority in marriage and authority between parents and children is under attack and vanishing in our culture. And so there are those who respond by making their mission in the home to maintain the husband's authority over the wife and to maintain the parent's authority over the children. But the idea that that authority came from Christ for service under Christ, for the good of that wife, for the good of those children, is not maintained and communicated, is not part of the air that that home breathes. And so what happens is you do get a restoration of authority, but not with the reverence of the fifth commandment, not with the fact that it is God himself who is authority in that home. The man becomes God. He becomes like a cult leader, right? There are cults in which the cult leader becomes the connection to whatever false divinity there is. And because they are the ones who are the leaders, you know, when they speak, the God speaks. And everybody else does everything to serve the cult leader. And they always, you know, it ends up horrific in terms of what they do with all the rest of the commandments. And so the irreverently maintaining our parental authority, just maintaining an authority that doesn't continually point our children to Christ, is another form of rebellion. This is why, and it's just an illustration, you don't have to make the application exactly the same way. This is why a bunch of our discipline conversations in our home starts with, Who made daddy your dad? Well, my, a bunch of them start with who made mommy your mommy, but I'm not in those. Who made daddy your daddy? God did. And what does God want you to do with daddy? Obey, honor, whatever it is, and so forth. That we realize that the Lord is in charge of these things. And you better explain, you better be able to explain at that point that it's not just naked authority. That here's what God wants, or Christ wants daddy to use this authority for, and that's why we're requiring you to do this, and so forth. Well, of course, if it's rebellion to fail to maintain your parental authority, it's rebellion for you children to reject parental authority. It is an act of cosmic treason. God has put you in this nursery school in which you get your first lesson that God is God and you are not. And your first lesson in God being God and you not being God is the fact that mommy is mom and you are not. And so you do what she says, and you not just do what she says, because if you do what she says irreverently, then you're still rejecting the fact that God is at the top. If you do what she says just because you learn that your hiney gets warm if you don't, then you're not fulfilling the command to honor, are you? You're just serving having a cool hiney. You are to honor your mom. You're to be glad that she's in charge. You're to be thankful that your will got crossed and cheerfully do what she wanted instead of what you wanted, because God is the one who made her your mom. And he is weighty and he is good. And that's the second part here. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which Yahweh, your God, is giving you. You have been specifically appointed your particular father, your particular mother, your particular days, and your particular blessings. The Lord giving them a land, that was a great blessing to them. He's not just saying, so that I can, you know, multiply or increase the duration of your time in a particular geographical location. The promise of the land was tied to God's redemption, wasn't it? All the way back to Abraham, promising to give him the land. And so it's his goodness in keeping all of his providences. But what's the best one of God's gifts? Was it that they would have a bunch of babies? I mean, he promised that to Abraham, that he would have descendants like the stars in the sky. Was it that they would have a bunch of property? That he would give him all of this land that he was sojourning in? No, what was the best gift that God promised Abraham? I will be your God, and you will be my people. God himself is his best gift. And so you have here the blessings, the goodness of God that is promised. But the greatest blessing is found in that phrase that we've already pointed, going back to the first and second and third and fourth commandments. Yahweh, your God. And so you may not have an enjoyable life if you have bad parents. But you will have God himself. And you will enjoy him, even in the midst of the difficulty, even in the midst of the misery, even in the midst of crying out against injustice and sin. But for the most part, most of you children don't have that here. So don't get a martyr complex and sing only imprecatory psalms and think about mom and dad. You are abusing the Bible when you think and feel and act that way. And yet, even if that was God's providence to you, and some of you have had hard situations with your parents, hard situations with your parents. Some of you older ones have had hard situations that still sting with your parents. And yet God in his goodness is giving himself to you and bringing you through that so that you may know the perfection of his fatherhood. Even sometimes it's through what he gives us in our parents. Sometimes it's over against, by means of, but over against what our parents have been like. And so there's a general commandment to all men to honor authorities, but it's especially for us upon the land which Yahweh, your God, is giving you. If we, the ones whom God is bringing to faith, are the ones who know the weightiness of God, then we are really the only ones who know how rightly to submit out of reverence for God. And so you have a specifically appointed providence. God has picked your authorities for you. You have a covenantally appointed providence. Is a special blessing that our honoring our father and mother is one of the means by which God is bringing us into our blessing. All obedience to God for a Christian is, you know, the old Puritan phrase was walking along the safe highway of holiness, that you may believe, and yet if you are not making progress in sanctification, if you're not walking in holiness, you will bring upon yourself a great series of miseries and ineffectivenesses and fruitlessness in this life, and be saved by the skin of your teeth as you're dragged through the bramble bushes and continually assaulted by thieves. That's the word picture there. But the highway of holiness, getting up to the safe path of obedience to God, of growth and killing sin and walking in new obedience, it's designed to be the means by which, the path through which we go to glory. We come to the blessing that Christ has earned for us. And then, of course, generously appointed providence. I got them out of order if you're following in the outline. God himself is the great gift of Exodus 20, verse 12. The land is not the great gift. It is a gift. The length of days is not the great gift. It is a gift. God himself is the gift. And then he comes in Ephesians chapter 6, and he's still repeating the promise. Why? Because the land is a new heavens and a new earth. It's not just that tiny tract of land in Palestine. And the days are everlasting days, not just if by strength 80 or 120 or whatever the Lord permits man to achieve before we fall on our face and have our lifespans shortened again. The days are the eternal days of the next world in which God himself is our blessing. So we are going to spend the rest of eternity responding perfectly to God's goodness to us and to God's glory. And ordinarily, in his providence, he gives us a starter pack in which to make a beginning in responding to his weightiness. And that's responding well to your parents' weightiness. Not just obedience, but cheerful, quick, submissive, meek, gentle obedience. Not fuming, but thanking God from your heart. Honor your father and your mother. They are great blessings, the vast majority of them. And they are very good to us, the vast majority of them. But it is God's weightiness that you're responding to. And it's God's goodness that you're responding to. Oh, dear children, honor your father and your mother. Our Father in heaven, we pray for those of us who are parents and are aspiring to be parents, that you would grant to us to exercise authority under you that directs all the glory and reverence and submission to you, so that our parents would help our children to see that it is Christ who is governing them through mom and dad. Help us to communicate that in a way that shows the sort of authority that Christ has exercised for us, that you, our Father, have exercised over us. And help us, O Lord, to respond to your weightiness whenever we are under authority. Lord, you know how difficult it is for many of us who were not honoring from the heart as children and did not see you as behind our parents and did not rejoice over your goodness to us in Christ and that portion that Jesus has earned for us and that can never be taken from us. And we thank you for the remedial lessons that you've given us as you brought our hearts into submission along the way, so that we might live these lives of knowing your greatness and responding to your goodness. We pray that our children would do better than we did. We pray that you would make them to know from a young age your own weightiness in all of their relationships and their relationships with their parents, especially here. That you would make them to know your goodness, the submission and the cheerfulness, the joy that comes from their relationships with their mom and dad would come out of knowing your goodness to them in Christ and forever. Do this for them, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.